people tend to believe that they know how to build a sukkah. And to a large extent, they're not completely wrong. After all, what's a sukkah composed of? Walls and schachs. It seems pretty simple. But if you look at the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and Masechta the Sukkah, as well as the Shulchan Aruch, you realize that there are many pratim, there are many details in building a sukkah that people don't know so well. So let's try to outline some of these halachos, some of these details, that will get a better sense as to what the structure of the sukkah is supposed to look like, and what exactly is the proper procedure in building a sukkah. The Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah on Daf Beis, the first Mishnah, talks about what seems to be a very particular case, but the rule that emerges from that Mishnah is very fundamental. The Mishnah says, what's the halacha if the sukkah, if the schach is taller than 20 amos? The schach, the walls are so tall that the schach is standing higher than 20 amos. Rabbi Yehuda's machshir is such a sukkah, and the Tanakhama passels. The Tanakhama, the Chachamim, passels such a sukkah. It's machlokes tanoim. What's machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? So the Gemara there has three different interpretations. The third and perhaps the most popular interpretation is that the Chachamim hold sukkah diras arai ve'inan, and Rabbi Yehuda says sukkah diras keva ve'inan. What does that mean? The Chachamim hold that the sukkah, since we only sit in the sukkah for 7 days, it's a diras arai. It's supposed to be a temporary dwelling, which means that it has to be built in a way in which it can be arai, that you don't have to make it ba'ofen shel keva. Therefore, the Chachamim assume that if you build the sukkah in such a way that the schach is l'mala me'eser nama, if it's above 20 amos, since you can't build the walls in such a way ba'ofen arai, they'll have to be keva, because if not, then the whole sukkah is going to fall apart. That sukkah is psula. The Yehuda holds that sukkah diras keva be'inan, that even though you live in the sukkah only for 7 days, the Torah objectively defines this as a diras keva, it's a permanent dwelling for those days, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds it can even be built in a way in which it will have to be a diras keva, even if the defanos will have to be ba'ofen shel keva, they have to be built in a strong way, very stable, it's not a problem, since sukkah diras keva be'inan, so therefore that's not going to be an issue. That's the machlokes tanoim. The Gemara in Yuma points out on Daf Yud that there seems to be another important nafkemina between these different tanoim, whether you hold sukkah diras arai be'inan or sukkah diras keva. And that's where the sukkah sachag b'chag, whether a sukkah requires a mezuzah on it. Rabbi Yehuda says that sukkah diras keva be'inan, the sukkah al pidin is defined as a diras keva, even though we only sit in the sukkah for 7 days. So because it's defined as a diras keva, it needs a mezuzah. It's like any other dira, any other bias. So therefore it requires a mezuzah. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that diras arai, sukkah is a diras arai, so it doesn't need a mezuzah. Even though you have to sit in the sukkah, it certainly is a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah, but that doesn't define a sukkah as a diras keva. It's still arai, and if it's a diras arai, then it doesn't require a mezuzah. We pass in, of course, like the Chachamim, that sukkah is a diras arai, that's why it doesn't require a mezuzah. But on the other hand, if the sukkah is taller than 20 amos, then it will be possible. We should point out that even according to the Chachamim, it's not like the walls have to be built ba'ofen shel arai. They could be built ba'ofen shel keva. The Gemara there on Daf Beis Amud Aleph says that you could build a sukkah b'mechitzo shel barzel. You could have walls that are very, very strong. The Chachamim just hold that the walls have to be built in a way that it's roilios arai, that you have the potential to make them in a more temporary way. But if the sukkah is so tall that the walls have to be built strongly, then it will be possible. But it doesn't have to be arai mamish, right? The walls don't have to be really flimsy, temporary in structure. They can be kavua. They can be very strong. But if they're not royally osarai, if the sukkah is so tall that the walls have to be kavua, then the Chachamim would say it'll pass. Tosis there on the bottom of the Gemara on that Beis adds another prat, another point to this equation. Tosis there says, if according to the Chachamim, you're allowed to build the sukkah ba'ofen shel keva as long as it's lower than 20 amos. So why is it that the Mishnah at the end of the second parak in sukkah says that if it rains on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, it's a siman klala? Geshamim is a siman klala b'chag. What's the siman klala? You could build a schach in such a way that you'll fasten the schach with nails to the defanos, and there won't be any rain coming down in the sukkah. So why is Geshamim a siman klala b'chag? That's Tosis kasha. The Tosis says there's a fundamental distinction that we have to draw, even according to the Chachamim, between defanos and schach. When it comes to defanos, then as long as it's roi lios arai, that's sufficient. As long as it has the potential to be temporary, that's sufficient. But by the schach, claims Tosis by the Schach, the Chachamim will say that you need Arai Mamish. It has to be Mamish flimsy. That means that it has to be Tzilasa Meruba Mechamasa. It has to have more shade than sun. But it can't be so thick that the rain can't come through. If the rain can't come through, that's called Kavua, that's Keva, that's not Arai, and that's going to be possible because by the Schach, the Chachamim hold that it has to be Arai Mamish. What's more, the Tosis says, according to the Chachamim, you can't be Koveya the Schach b'masmerim. You can't fasten the Schach with nails. That also would be called Kavua. That's not Arai, and the Schach needs Arai Mamish. That would be a problem. It's only by the Defanos, only by the walls, that the Chachamim hold that Roy Lios Arai is sufficient. You don't need Arai Mamish. So the only problem would be, if it's taller than 20 amos, that can't be Arai. It's got to be Kevas. That would be a problem. But in the Schach, Arai Mamish. It's got to be Mamish temporary. You see from Tosis a very important yesod, and that is, what's the ikar of the sukkah? The ikar of the sukkah is not the walls, it's the schach. The sukkah is Hashem schach kriya, as Rashi there writes in the Mishnah. The schach is really the key to the sukkah. So the din of Dira Sarai, according to the Chachamim, really is chal more in the schach than in the walls. They talk about in the Svarim, there was once someone who made a contraption, he made schach in a way that the Geshamim would not come through. It was an interesting contraption. Imagine a cylindrical pipe that you could see through. Let's say you cut the pipe in half and you shift the top of the pipe just a little bit so that there's... Let's draw it on the board. Let's say you have schach that's like this. So that any rain that's going to fall on the convex... Is this convex? The convex side... It's just going to fall into the concave side, right? If it falls on top of the cylinder, it'll fall into the bottom. Then he shifted it in such a way that it was a little bit on a slant, so that it would just fall off the side of the sukkah. And there was like a whole contraption that he made of these pipes, so that the geshamim should not come into the sukkah. Ingenious. Maybe they should do this in the physics club. See if they can create schach in such a way that geshamim are not going to come through. This was a patent that someone thought of. So the poskim discussed this. Is this schach kosher? Is it possible? I mean, technically speaking, the rain can't come through. I guess if you had a very, hurricane-type wind, maybe it could blow it across the side, blow a little bit of rain across the side, but basically the rain is not going to come through. So should this be viewed as a sukkah psula because the rain can't come through, or should we say it's still a sukkah ksheira? So the Chor, according to Tosis, it should be possible. Tosis seems to say that according to the Chachamim, that even according to the Chachamim, if rain can come through, it's going to be possible. Right? If rain can come through, it's going to be possible. But there were those who wanted to be machshir the sukkah. How could you be machshir the sukkah? The Chor Tosis says that if rain can't come through, the sukkah is possible. And you see a raya from the Mishnah that Gishamim is a siman klal b'chag. So how could it be? So there are two ways that you can answer this question. Two ways that you can justify this type of schach. One is to say that maybe we could argue totally with Tosfos. We can argue in Gansan with Tosfos. Maybe Tosfos is wrong. Maybe there isn't such a t'nai that the sukkah has to be built in such a way that rain can come through the schach. But the Mishnah says that Geshamim are a siman klal b'chag. So that's not such a problem. You can say maybe since rov dvarim that you make schach out of are such that they don't protect from rain, so that's why it's a siman klal b'chag. You could create schach in a way that the geshamim will come through. Aruch HaShulchan has such an idea. Aruch HaShulchan says that maybe the Mishnah is talking al pi rov, that since rov dvarim that you mesakech with don't protect from rain, so that's why it's a siman klal b'chag. It doesn't mean that it's a chok v'lo yaver, you can't build the sukkah in such a way that rain is not going to come through. Maybe taka, even if rain can't come through, it's still kosher. And some point out that this is really a Mishnah in the second parak. The Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis says, "Hamauva kemin bayis havu b'shena kochav emirin mitocha ksheira." If the sukkah is so thick, it's almost like a roof of a house that you can't see the stars. It's still kosher against the preschools. Right? The preschools all teach their kids that you have to be able to see the stars. It might be a din lechatchila, but the Mishnah says beferish, but the sukkah is still kosher even if you can't see the stars. Even if you can't see the stars. So just like if you can't see the stars, it's still kosher, even though it's so thick. L'chora, the same should hold true, even if the rain can come through, so thick that the rain can't come through, it still should be kosher. This is, in fact, what the Rash Mishantz held. The Hagos Maimini in Hilchasukah Perakei Ostes says the Rash Mishantz held that even if the sukkah is so thick that the rain can't come through, it's kosher. Rabbi Natan, his brother-in-law, disagreed. He passed his sukkah. There was a family feud whether they could eat in the Rashi's sukkah. He made the sukkah fastened with the nails. Rabbi Natan, his brother-in-law, felt he didn't want to eat in the sukkah. It wasn't a problem with the Rashi's wife's food, but he didn't want to eat in that sukkah. So apparently the Rashi understands that it's kosher, that even if the rain can't come through, there's no problem. Rabbi Natan agrees with Tosis that if the rain can't come through, it is a problem. So how do we reconcile the Mishnah in the second parak? So apparently what you have to say, according to Tosfos, is that there's a distinction between stars and rain. That even if the stars can't be seen, it's still kosher if it's so thick. But if the rain can't come through, that's mamash going to be a problem. Rabbi Natan and Tosfos will say that it's really a problem if the rain can't come through. So one way to disagree with the Rabbi Natan and Tosfos is to say maybe they're wrong. The Rash disagreed already. He said that even if the rain can't come through, it's still kosher. But the other way to disagree, the other way to be machshir, this kind of apparatus, this kind of schab, where rain, taka can't come through, seems like it can't come through. Even if you'll go like Tosfos, even if you'll say that if rain can't come through, the sukkah is posel, you could say that even Tosfos would be machshir in this case. Because what Tosfos meant to say is not that there's this psul that if the rain can't come through, the sukkah has to be posel. No. That's not, the fact that rain can't come through is not a sibah to posel the sukkah, it's a simen ladavar. What's the simen ladavar? You need the fact that the rain can come through to call it a diras arai. If rain can't come through, what a matter do? That's called a diras keva, and according to the chachamim, that sukkah is going to be possible. But if you could construct tzchach that is arai, but yet the rain can come through, it's not like the roof of the house. Right? It's enough arai that the rain can come through. It's enough arai that it's not like a tikras habayis. It is arai. It is temporary in nature. It happens to be that the rain can't come through. So maybe even Tosfos would say that's kosher. This sukkah, the way the schach is built over here, would you call that arai or would you call that keva? It's not really keva, right? Because there are holes in the roof. I mean, how many people build a roof with holes in it? It's probably arai. It's viewed as a temporary structure. It happens to be that the rain can come through, but that's not going to call it a diras keva. So one could suggest that maybe even Tosfos would say that this is kosher. Since it's still arai, even though the geshavim can't come through, there's no reason to pasal. Because this idea that the geshavim can't have to be able to come through in order to be machshir the sukkah, that's not a siba. That you have to have this potential for rain to come through. No, that's a similar kaf, that it's a diras arai. If you have a diras arai, even if the rain can come through, even if the rain can't come through, you have a diras arai, but the rain can't come through, it still should be kosher, because it's still arai, it's still temporary in nature, so there shouldn't be any problem. So there are different poskim on either side of the spectrum, whether they want to be machshir this schach or not be machshir this schach. But it's based on this Tosfos, whether you have to have a sukkah that the geshavim actually can come through. Lemaisa, lechatchila, one really should be machmir to make sure that the schach is not so thick that you can't see the stars. Forget about rain for a moment. The Mishnah says, lechatchila, you're supposed to be able to see the stars. So if you can't see the stars, lechatchila, you can't be yotzi with that sukkah. Many public sukkahs, they put the schach on so thick, the bamboo is so thick, that your mamash can't see through it all. So it's best to try to be machmir, not to do that. If you can avoid that, it's best to make it thin enough, not as thick, so that you really could see through and see some of the stars. Okay. What's the shear of the sukkah? How large does the sukkah have to be? So the Gemara in Sukkah on Gimel Amud Aleph quotes Machlokes Tanoim. Beis Shammai holds that it has to be Zayin al Zayin. 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim. Beis Hillel says vav al vav, 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim. Beis Shammai says that the sukkah has to be large enough to be masig rosho v'rubo v'shulchano, even the table. The table is a tefach, minimal table. Beis Hillel says that vav al vav is enough because rosho v'rubo is enough. It doesn't have to be masig shulchano. And Rebbe is a third sheet. The Rebbe holds that you need dalet amos by dalet amos. Where did Rebbe get this from? Dalet al dalet, dalet amos by dalet amos. So the Gemara explains, Rebbe gets this from bias. Bias in Kol HaTorah Kula is Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos for the Chiyuv of a Makeh, to have a fence around the top of the house, and for Mezuzah, for Negebatim, for different halachos where you need a bias, the rule is that Dalet Amos of Dalet Amos is the Shir. So Rebbe holds that Sukkah is also a bias, it's also a Dira. So since it also has to be a Dira, like a bias, you need Dalet Amos of Dalet Amos. What did the Chachamim say? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree with Rebbe. What's their svar? So the Gemara itself explains. The Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis says that the Chachamim hold a diras arai be'inan. Sukkah is a diras arai. It's not a diras keva. So therefore, it doesn't need dalet al dalet. Rebbe pastens like Reb Yehuda, that sukkah diras keva be'inan, so it has a din of a bias. That's why it has to be dalet amos by dalet amos. Who do we paskin like? So we actually paskin in this case like Beis Shammai, that Zion al Zion. Tosis there points out, it's one of the exceptions to the rule. Normally we paskin like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai, but this is one of the exceptions that we paskin like Beis Shammai, that the shear for a sukkah is Zion al Zion. The minimal shear for a sukkah is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. The Mishnah on the Aveis goes further in terms of the shear of a sukkah. The Mishnah says that the sukkah has to be minimally 10 tefachim tall. The walls have to be 10 tefachim tall. The Chachamim, the Rebbe Yehuda hold, it can't be more than 20 amas tall. But the minimal shear is that it has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. Because less than 10 tefachim is not called a dira at all. That's a dira srucha. No one would live in such a dira. So that's definitely psula for the sukkah. How many walls does the sukkah have to have? So the Mishnah also talks about that. B'she'en lo gimel defanos psula. If it doesn't have three walls, it's pasul. The sukkah requires three walls. What does three walls mean? So the Gemara explains it's not quite what we think it means. The Gemara in Vavam Ebeis. It's not quite three full walls, but rather shtayim kilchoson u'shlishas afilu tefach. Shtayim, like the halacha, like the proper shir, meaning zayin tefachim. Two of the walls have to be at least seven tefachim in length, but the third is afilu tefach. Even if it's a tefach, what does that mean? So shtayim kilchoson means kegam. It has to be connected. They have to be connected. So let's say they're both the same size. They're both Zayin Tefachim. Ushlish Zafil Tefach means that you need a Tefach. The Gemara explains a Tefach that's a little bit further away from the wall. There's less than Gimel Tefachim. There's 2.9 Tefachim between that Tefach. Between that Tefach and the end of the wall. So then you have Rov between the Tefach and the 2.9. You have Rov of Zayin Tefachim. So that's enough. That's the Halacha. That's the Kabbalah that Chazal had, that as long as you have two walls that are completely Zayin Tefachim, and then you have Rov of another wall, then that's going to be kosher. But we don't build a sukkah like that. We don't build with a third wall like that. But the Gemara is that you need a Tzuras HaPesach. A Tzuras HaPesach from the end of the Zayin Tefachim to that Tefach Shochek, and then you have the Lovud over here. It's less than three tefachim. We treat it as though it's kesasam dami. So rove of your wall with the tzuras haPesach makes a full wall. What is schach posel? What is schach kosher? What must the schach be made of? So the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph writes that the schach has to be a davar she'eino mekabel tumah, and it has to be gidulei karka. It has to be something that grows from the ground, and it can't be mekabel tumah. And Rashi there adds, it also has to be tolosh min hakark, it has to be detached from the ground. Three requirements. Davashen makabel tumah, gidulei karka, and tolosh min hakark. What's this based on? So the Gemara dashens a few psukim. The final pasuk is a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh. Chag asuv astas lecha shivas yamin, va'asbecha migarncha miyikvecha. What does the pasuk mean? What's pasuk pshat? Pasuk pshat is that Chag HaSukkos occurs bizman ha'asif, at the time of the harvest, when you collect from the garn from the yekev. But the Gemara darshin v'asvucha migarncha miyikvecha b'psolas garn v'yekev ha'kosov medaber. The Torah is talking about the psolas of garn v'yekev, the leftovers after you've brought the tvua to the granary, after you've brought the grapes to the wine press and you've pressed them. So what's left? The twigs. There's no fruit. Fruit is mekabel tumah. There's no fruit. All you have is like twigs, leftovers there. So those twigs and leftovers, they're first of all tolish min hakarka. Secondly, they're not mekabel tumah. And thirdly, they're gidul hakarka. So we learn that schach has to be made with the psolas of the goren v'yekev. So what could you make schach out of? Tree branches. That's what they normally used to make schach out of. And recently, you know, in the past 30, 40 years or so, they started to make schach out of bamboo. Because it's hard to find the trees if you have a hurricane around the sukkah time, so then you'll be able to find your branches. But to go and cut your friend's tree down, I don't recommend it. So it was difficult to find tree branches, so they decided to make it out of bamboo. That lasts from year to year, it's just easier. But the yisod is that bamboo is gedulei karka, it's tolosh min hakarka, and it's not mekabel tumah. Bamboo is a little bit of a shaila, because they talk about if there's a base kibul in the bamboo, maybe it should be mekabel tumah. Pashup Shad is, it's not a kabel tum, it's not a prime. So this is the basic rule of schach. Let's say you're going to make schach, you're going to use schach that fulfills all these requirements, but you're going to put the schach on top of something that's mekabel tumah. You'll be mamed b'davar mekabel tumah. Like the old canvas sukkahs. Some people still have canvas sukkahs. not as many, but the old, it used to be very, very popular to have canvas sukkahs that were made out of a metal frame. You put canvas around the metal frame. It's tznius v'alma, really, just that people shouldn't see in. You put the canvas around the metal frame, and then you have, well, we'll get to it later. Maybe it's not just tznius. Maybe it's actually to create a shame dolphin. But leave that as it may, right? You have your canvas sukkah made out of the metal frame with the canvas around, and then you put tzrach on top of it. So it sounds great. It sounds kedasu kedin. You have your defanos, you have your tzrach, everything should be fine. Yeah, but the problem is, if all you have is a metal frame that's supporting the tzrach, so even if the tzrach is not makabel tumah, but your mamid b'dav makabel tumah, so is that kosher or is that possible? What's the rule of mamid b'dav makabel tumah? Clearly the metal is makabel tumah min haTorah. It's possible min haTorah for tzrach. So what's the rule of your mamid b'dav makabel tumah? So that's another Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah. Mishnah daf chaf alef amibay is called the machlokas tanoim. What happens if you somet sukkoso b'karei hamita? Let's say you support the sukkah with the bedposts, chaf alef amibay. That's page 17 in your handout. The Yehuda holds that it's posel. He held that lamala miyasimam is kosher. Here he posels. It's reversed. And the chachamim, the tanakama, hold that it's kosher. So what's the machlokas? Why would I assume that someone supposed to bekari amit is kosher apostle? What's the idea? So within Rabbi Yehuda Shita, the Gemara has two svaras. The first svara is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's apostle because ein lo keva. What does that mean? Ein lo keva. Not so simple. Because the Machlokas Rishonim what it means. But most Rishonim quote a Yerushalmi that seems to say that ein lo keva is because you don't have 10 tfachim from the mita until the top of the bedpost. Since you don't have 10 tefachim from the mita till the top of the bedpost, you're making the sukkah on top of the bed, so that's like a dira srucha. That's not a good dira. People would not live in there. That's like the Mishnah Dav Beis, that if the sukkah itself is not 10 tefachim tall, then it's posel. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda had in mind, that it's ein lo keva. It's ein lo keva, so therefore it's going to be posel. That's one svara. But then the Gemara says, maybe Rabbi Yehuda apostle for a different reason, because your mamid b'davar makabel tumah. Since the bed is makabel tumah, even though the schach that you have, you're only somer sukoso in the kari amita. You're not actually being misakach b'kari amita. You're somer sukoso. You're supporting the sukkah with the kari amita. But that's mamid b'davar makabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that's going to be a problem as well. And the chachamim say there's no problem at all. That's a little strange why they would disagree with the first time. But be that as it may, they certainly argue with the second time. They would say that Mame B'dav Mekabel Tumah is not going to be a problem. So what could be the Svara, Rabbi Yehuda's Svara, that Mame B'dav Mekabel Tumah is a problem? So that's the Machlokas Rishonim. The Ran says it's a Gzera D'Rabbanan. It's a Gzera that we're afraid that if we allow you to be Mame B'dav Mekabel Tumah, or to be Mame with anything that's possible to be Schach, maybe you might come to be Mesakech with this item as well. So Mame B'davar Mekabel Tumah is a gzeira. The reason why it's possible is because it's a gzeira that we're afraid you might come to be misakeh with the davar Mekabel Tumah itself. For that reason, the Ran claims that one is allowed to put schach on top of a wall of stones, because everyone knows you can't be misakeh with stones. That's pretty poshut. No one would think that. So because no one would think that, then the gzeira doesn't apply. That's the Ran. The Ran says that Rabbi Yehuda holds, according to the second version of the Gemara, that Mame B'davar Mekabel Tumah is possible because of a gzera that we're afraid that you might come to be misakeh b'davar makabel tumah. Not just mamid, not just support the tzrach, but you might be misakeh b'davar makabel tumah as well. So that would only apply if the gzera is applicable, as opposed to a chomas evan, where everyone knows that you can't be misakeh with stones. But the Bach quotes Rashi, he's medayik from Rashi on Chafal from the Beis, that Rashi has a different pshat. Rashi holds this is really a psulda raisa. And the reason why Mame B'davar Mekabel Tumah Alibi the Rabbi Yehuda in the second version of the Gemara is because we're afraid, not that we're afraid, but rather that the Schach is Nikra Al Shem HaMamid. The Schach is defined by the Mamid. Right? We follow the Mamid. Whatever supports the Schach is how we define the Schach. So if the Mamid is a B'davar Mekabel Tumah, it's as if you're being Mesakech B'davar Mekabel Tumah Mamish. So even though the Mishnayos say that any substance is kosher for the funnels of the sukkah, you make the walls out of metal, you can make them out of anything, whether they're gedulei karka, non-gedulei karka, doesn't matter. the Bach Bedas Rashi must be assuming that that's only talking about if the walls are not Mamed the Sach. You have some other thing, some other contraption that's supporting the Sach. But if the walls actually would be supporting the Sach, then it would be a Psul Daraisa. Because if the Sach is Nikra Shem HaMamed, then if you're Mamed Bedar Makabal Tumah, it's as if you're actually Mesach Bedar Makabal Tumah itself. How do we pask it? We have Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. We have Alibid Rabbi Yehuda. There are two Pshatim. So how exactly should we pass them? So if you were to ask me, I'd say we should pass them like the Tanakhama. Pass them like the Chachamim. Yochid Rabim Halacha Kirabim. The Baal HaMor paskins like that. But the Rif and many Rishon and Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. They take Rabbi Yehuda seriously. But even Alibid Rabbi Yehuda, it's not so sure that Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah is a problem. That's only the second version. Maybe we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but the first version of Rabbi Yehuda. It's not at all clear that we should say that Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah is a problem. So who does think it's a problem? The Ramban and the Ran. The Ramban and the Ran paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, the second version of Rabbi Yehuda. That the reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds Mesaka Chosama Sukkosa B'kari Amita is possible is because you're Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah. So they are the ones who claim that Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah, Ladina, would be a problem. But how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? There's a lot going on over here. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So the emes is the Shulchan Aruch paskin is like the Tanakhama. Not the second version, Rabbi Yehuda, not the first version either, but like the Tanakhama. The Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Lamed Sif Yud Gimel says that Tzomach Sukkoso V'Kari Amita is Kshera. So at first glance, the whole shayla of Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah, you want to make a canvas sukkah with a metal frame and put the schach directly on the metal, shouldn't be a problem at all. You're passing like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Tanakhama, what's the problem with Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah? Well, so the problem is not that Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud Gimel, but the other Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin in Tav Reish Lamed has a suffix. This suffix moved worlds. There's a whole literature in the Poskim and the Achronim that was created to try to explain the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch has a suffix. Are you allowed to be Mesakech al Gabe Sulam? Can you be Mesakech on top of a ladder? On top of a ladder? What's he talking about on top of a ladder? What could be the problem to be Mesakech on top of a ladder? Maximum, the Sulam is Mekabel Tumah. So your Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah, but didn't the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Gimel paskin that Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah is kosher? So why should you have a suffix about this? Suffix if you could be Mesakech on a Sulam? Maximum, the Sulam is Mekabel Tumah, but it's not the Schach. Your Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah, what should be the problem? The Magen Avraham asks this kasha, and the Magen Avraham gives two answers. His second answer is the more famous one. Magen Avraham says maybe what the Shulchan Aruch means to say, he has a suffix, whether lechatchila Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah is taka posel. Me'ikar adin b'di'evet, he holds it's definitely kosher. That's the Shulchan Aruch who paskins like the Tanakhama. But he has a suffix whether we should be choshesh for Rabbi Yehuda Shita lechatchila. Maybe we should be choshesh that Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah should be posel. But that's only a suffix lechatchila. A chashash lechatchila. Maybe taka lechatchila should be posel. So that's the Magen Avraham that got all the poskim saying that we should be machmer for Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah. Because of this suffix in Shulchan Aruch, this suffix in Shulchan Aruch, maybe lechatchili should be choshesh by Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah. So what do we do? You have your canvas sukkah made out of the metal frame. You want to put schach on top of the metal frame. What do you do? So they point out that if you look at the Magen Avraham carefully, he seems to have a kula built in. The Magen Avraham, even though he says that perhaps you should be machmer lechatchila not to be mamed b'dar mekabel tumah, but as long as you put a chatichas eitz, you put a wooden, some piece of wood on top of the metal to separate between the metal and the schach, everything is fine. Why is everything fine in that case? So the phrase that they give is that that's not called mamed b'dar mekabel tumah, that's mamed de mamed. A double mamed, it's a support of a support. The Magen Avraham claims that the only mamed that the Shulchan Aruch passes, even lechatchila, is mamed b'dar mekabel tumah, where there's only one thing supporting the schach. But if it's mamed the mamed, if it's a double mamed, then it's kosher. Why should he say that? Where did he get this from? He invented this kula? The Magen Avraham says, no, it's not my invention. The Ramban, who's the one who passes that mamed b'dar mekabel tumah is posel, the Ramban himself is machshedus. The Ramban himself that says that if you're mamed the mamed, that's okay. So if the Ramban says it, we can't be more machmer than him. Ramban is the Marad, the Shmait, so the Ramban is the one who says the Mamed B'dar Mekabel Tumah is posel, but he himself says Mamed the Mamed is kosher, so we can't be machmer more than he. So Zok the Magen Avraham, if you have a Chaticha Seitz that's mafsik, that's serving, so to speak, as a Chatzitza, between the metal and the schach, everything is fine. That's mamed and mamed. That's no longer mamed, but they're mekabel tumah, and that's going to be kosher. The Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish, in a very famous piece, this is in Archaim, it's in a Kuf Mem Gimel Os Beis. The Chazon Ish claims that you will not accomplish anything if you put a piece of wood between the metal and the schach. Me'ikar Adin, the Chazon Ish seems to say, Rabbi Shechter likes to say it over this way, Me'ikar Adin, the Chazon Ish says, look, the issue of Mamed Vedev Mekabel Tumah is probably not a problem anyway. But if you want to be Machmir for the Magen Avraham's version of the Sofik in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not going to accomplish anything by putting the extra piece of wood. That's how the Chazon Ish says it over. The Chazon Ish perhaps wouldn't even care about Mamed Vedev Mekabel Tumah anyway, but if you want to be Machmir for those who are Machmir, then you're not going to solve any problem by simply putting a chatzitza of wood. Why not? So at first glance, it seems like the Magen Avraham and the Chazon Ish are arguing as to whether Mamed de Mamed is a problem. Is Mamed de Mamed a problem? Double Mamed. So what could that be dependent on? It could be dependent on the old Shaila, the Machlokas, the Ran and Rashi, why Mamed b'Dav Mekabel Tumah is a problem. If you take the Ran, that it's all a Gzeira, that we're afraid that if you're Mamed b'Dav Mekabel Tumah, you might come to be Nesakech b'Dav Mekabel Tumah. So then maybe you could suggest that Mamed de Mamed is too far removed. Just because it's a support of a support, you're not going to be Mesakech with the metal. You realize what's touching the Schach is the wood. That's royally or Schach. So just because you're Mamed de Mamed in metal, right? It's a double support. The second support is metal. It's too far removed from the Schach. You're not going to come to be Mesakech with metal. So maybe there's no room for Gzeir. But if you take the approach of Rashi, if you say that the Schach is Nikra al-Shem HaMamed, so then if it's Mamed, it's Mamed. So if the metal is Mamed, the Schach, even if it's the second Mamed, it still should be a problem. So Lechora, that's how you would have explained this Machlokas in the Poskim. But the Machlokas, whether Mamed and Mamed is a problem by Schach or not, is a function of why Mamed B'Dav Mekabel Tumah should be a problem in the first place. But the Chazon Ish doesn't explain that way. The Chazon Ish says, there's a very simple reason why he holds this case of Mamed and Mamed is not going to be good. He doesn't deny the fact that the Rabban is Machshir Mamed de Mamed. What's the case that the Rabban is talking about? The Rabban is saying, if you Mamed the Sukkah al Gabi Ilan, let's say you build your Sukkah in a tree. Not a tree house, but a tree Sukkah. You build your Sukkah in the tree. So Zok the Rabban, if the tree is only doing Maisa Karka Bialma, that's his Lashon. The tree is just doing Maisa Karka Bialma. It's the floor of the Sukkah. But it's not necessary to have the tree. If you take away the tree, the Sukkah will stand. It'll fall down to the ground and stand on the ground. You don't need the tree for the sukkah to stand. So the Rabban says, if you don't need the tree for the sukkah to stand, that's just a mamed de mamed, that's his losha, but it's like a shigur de lishma. He doesn't mean that mamed de mamed is not a problem. He means that if the mamed de mamed, if the second mamed is only doing a maisa karka bialma, it's just maisa karka. Thus meant that it's not really necessary. That means it's not really necessary for the sukkah to stand. Even if you take away that bottom piece, the sukkah will stand. So that's not a problem of Mamed B'Dav Mekabel Tumah. It's not really Mamed Eschach. That's what the Ramban is saying. It's not that Mamed the Mamed, even though it's Mamed Eschach, is not as significant a Mamed. No, it's that if it's only doing a Maisa Karka B'Yalma, it's not called a Mamed of the Eschach, because it's not really Mamed Eschach. It's not necessary to keep the Eschach standing. That's what the Chazon Ish says. He says if you're going to put the piece of wood between the metal and the Eschach, you're not going to accomplish anything. Why? He says, first of all, why should I define the wood as a mamet? The wood could be schach. So maybe it's not mamet. Maybe the metal is not mamet and mamet anyway. The metal is mamet, a piece of schach. It's mamet the wood. That's point number one. But secondly, even if you will define the wood as a mamet, so now the metal is a mamet and mamet. The Ramban himself wasn't machshir every mamet and mamet. He was only machshir a mamet and mamet, which is only doing a maisa karka b'alma. But if you have a mamed which is not just doing a maisa karka b'yalma, you take away that mamed, the whole sukkah is going to fall down. If you take away the metal frame, you won't have a sukkah anymore. Take away the metal frame, you'll have a piece of wood with schachs standing on it. It's not 10 tefachim tall. So even the Ramban would say that kind of mamed and mamed is going to be a problem. So that's why the Chazon Ish says that you don't accomplish anything by putting this extra piece of wood. You want to make like a chatzitza? What's a chatzitza going to do? The metal is still being mamed the whole sukkah. Without the metal, the schach would fall down. So without the metal, the schach would fall down. Avada, that's called Mamed B'Dav Mekabel Tumah, and it's going to be a problem. So those who want to be machmer for the Chazon Ish are very medaktek. They make the sukkah without any metal screws or metal nails. They have wooden pegs or something. They don't want to be mamed the walls with anything metal. Because if they support the walls with anything metal, and the walls would fall down without the metal, you take out the screws, the walls will fall down. So if the walls will fall down, then that's not just doing a Maisa Karaka B'Alma. According to the Chazon Ish, that will be a mamed the mamed that the Ramban himself would say is going to be a problem. So even if the Ramban is makel by mamed the mamed, it's only if it's doing Maisa Karaka B'Alma. But if it's mamish holding up the sukkah, that really should be a problem. So those who are machmir for the Chazon Ish would be careful either to use non-metal fasteners or to put the schach on top of a kosel of stones. If you put it on top of a wall of stones, so that's not a problem at all. That's not a problem, bichlal, because the whole din of mamed b'dav mekabel tumah is not a problem to put on top of the kosel of them. Yeah?
Is pressure treated wood or stained wood, is that mekabel tumah?
I don't think so. If it's wood, if it's not made into a base kibble, why should it be a problem? I think just because it's pressure treated, it shouldn't be an issue. Okay. The Chazon Ish is a big machmir when it comes to mamed b'dav mekabel tumah, but he's a big mekel too. There's one kula of the Chazon Ish that the Mishnah Berurah and the other poskim didn't hold. Yes.
What is
the Maisa Karka B'Alma? What does that mean? Maisa Karka means it's just the floor of the sukkah, meaning it's not supporting the structure of the sukkah. So the tree is just Maisa Karka. If you take away the tree, the sukkah will still be there. It'll be on the ground. It'll fall down to the ground, but it's not gonna fall apart. But if you take away the metal frame of a canvas sukkah, you will not have a sukkah anymore. Everything is just going to fall to the ground. You'll have schach lying on the ground, and that's not kosher because you don't have the funnels. So, yes?
So you're using those like plastic fastener things, or they're called like electric wire fasteners?
To fasten what? To fasten
like
the schach?
Or
to hold the schach? We're going to get to that. Okay, just one second. Before we get to... That sort of leads us into the next point. So the Chazon Ish is a big machmir in Mamed B'dav Mekabel Tumah, it would seem, but the truth is he's also a mekel. He has a kula. And the Chazon Ish, strangely enough, even though he holds that you're not supposed to use nails to fasten your sukkah, he does hold that you can fasten the schach to the defanos. If the schach is being supported by the defanos, you can fasten the schach with nails. What does that mean? Meaning, if the schach is being held by the defanos themselves, it's not that the schach is sort of like hanging inside of the dofen. If the schach, take a bird's eye view here, okay? So if we're looking from a bird's eye view, if the schach is like this, it's being held from dofen to dofen, so if you were to put a nail on the side, the Chazon Ish would say that's a problem, because without the nail, the schach is just going to fall down. But let's say your schach is being supported by the dofen, it's sticking out. So you don't really need to put in the nails to support the schach, but what do you need to put in the nails for? To hold the schach in place so that the wind is not going to blow the schach. Chazon Ish says that's not mamet. That's not a mamet of the schach. Chazon Ish holds that mamet is only if you're supporting the schach. But to hold the schach in place, that's not called mamet. So strangely enough, it comes out that the Chazon Ish is the machmer will be mekel over here. He'll say you can't use metal screws to put your walls together, even though the walls are not the ikar of the sukkah. But the fact is, if you use the metal screws, then you are mamed the schach b'davar mekabel tumah, because the walls are being mamed the schach, and without the screws, the walls are going to fall apart. But if your walls are made out of wood, and there are wooden pegs that are keeping the walls together, so you're not mamed b'davar mekabel tumah, the only thing you're doing is the schach is leaning on these walls. You want to make sure that the schach is not going to shift out of position. They're not being supported by the Dov Mekabel Tumah, but they're being kept in place by the Dov Mekabel Tumah. Chazon Ish says that's fine, because that's not called being mamid, the schach. That's called keeping it in place. Mamid means supporting, not keeping it in place. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Chav Tes, in Sivkot and Chav Vav, writes that one is not allowed to fasten the schach with nails. Now, in the Shara Tzion, in a different place, The Mishnah Berurah points out that, look, according to Tosafot on that base, you can't fasten the schach with nails anyway, because then what would happen? Your schach would become keva. According to Tosafot, you can't fasten the schach with nails, because then it becomes a dinyan keva. But the Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Chav Tes of Katan Chavav says, no, there's a simpler reason why you can't fasten it with nails, because that's mamed b'dav mekabel tumah. Even though you're not supporting the schach that way, you're only keeping it in place, that's also a problem. So there are two reasons why, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you can't fasten a schach with nails. Either because it'll turn it into a binyan keva, and the chachamim will hold it sediras arai, has to be arai mamish in the schach, that would be possible, or because it's called being mamim b'dar makabal tumma, l'chatchila we don't do that, according to the Magen Avraham's version of the Shulchan Aruch. So according to the Mishnah, yes?
According to the first, not that the first presentation of the Mechaber, where...
Mechaber? Which Mechaber are we talking about?
The one about Kriyamita, the first one that we did.
Yes.
The end, at least.
Okay.
So then the whole question, the whole Machlok is between Mishnah and Mechaber, which would be an issue.
Right, but if we're Machmer for the Magen Avraham, that the Sofik and the Shulchan Aruch, l'chatchili, you should care about Mamim Dar Mechaber Tumah, so then we have to talk Mishnah Berurah Chazanish. Right? We'll get to your point later. I'll bring it up in a different context in just a few moments. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, you have to ask a variant. Yes?
So just a question in the Mishnah Berurah. Mm-hmm. Couldn't you just say that it's still not mamid, even though it's... It's not called mamid, it's just...
Chazanish claims it's not mamid because it's only holding it in a place. The Mishnah Berurah says it is mamid. If I didn't tell you what the Chazanish says, I think everyone in this room would have said that that's called being mamid too. You are maintaining it. Maintenance means support. It also means keeping it in place. Zokta Chazanish? No, I don't think so. Mamid means supporting it, not necessarily keeping it in place. Not necessarily anchoring it so that the wind is not going to blow. Not going to blow it off. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, we have to ask a very important question. Forget about nails. I think most people don't nail this schachin. It would be very hard to take it apart. But are you allowed to tie down your schach with string? Could you tie down your schach with string? According to the Chazanish, there's no problem. As long as you make your sukkah with wooden pegs, there's no metal in the walls, supporting the walls, the Chazanish would say, you can tie it down with string. What could be the problem? But according to the Mishnah Berurah, there's room to discuss, because the Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Chof Tes Sif Hei says that Sikcha b'chavolim shel pishton is psula. If you were misakech with chavolim, if you're misakech with string, that's possible. That's chach possible. It's a davar makabel tumah. So, sikcha b'chavolim shel pishton is psula. So if it's schach posel, l'chora, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you shouldn't be able to fasten the schach with the chavolim either, because that would be called mamim dar makabel tumah, even though you're only anchoring it to keep it in place. So why exactly is sikcha b'chavolim shel pishton psula? Let's analyze this a little bit. So the Sharatziyah in there, in Tafresh Chof Tes, Sivkot Mechav, he says, according to Rashi, it might be a psul d'oraisa. Psul d'oraisa, Rashi and Shabbos, one place, and Daf Samach Dalet, in those sugyas and Shabbos that talk about Dinei Tuma. So Rashi says that if you have string that was twisted into threads and braided into rope, string, yarn, something like that, that's Orig, that has a din of Ariga Minatora, and it's Posel for Schach Minatora, it'll be Mekabel Tuma. He doesn't talk about Schach there, but it's Ariga Minatora, it's like a Beged, so Minatora, you wouldn't be able to be Mesakek with it. It's Mekabel Tumah Minatora. Wow, that's quite a chum. The Mishnah Berurah, though, in Sukkot and Yud Gimel, quotes from the Magen Mishnah that it's only a Psul D'Rabbanan. Sikcha b'chavolim shel pishton, he holds it's a Psul D'Rabbanan. What's the Psul? It's Nishtane. It's a Dovash and Nishtane. It's changed from its original state, even though the string is made out of Gidule Karka. Whatever the string is made out of came from the ground originally, but since it's a davish neshtane, it doesn't look like idulei karka. So Chazal passed that for schach. Chazal treated it like a davar makabel tumah. Right? It, even though it's neshtane, right? Because it's neshtane and it doesn't look like idulei karka, that's not makabel tumah min haTorah, but it's possible for schach because it doesn't look like idulei karka. It's a davish neshtane. So the question is, according to the Magen Mishnah, look, I'm not going to be misakech with this item. It's possible for schach, with the rabbonim. But can I be mamid with the string? Can I tie down my schach with the string? According to the Chazanish, that's not mamid. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, that is called mamid. Would I be allowed to tie down my schach with this string that's possible with the rabbonim to be schach? So Rav Tzipa Safrank, in the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh, it's actually not him, it's in the footnote, his son-in-law writes that Lechora, this shaila should depend on the two svaras that we had before, the Ran and the Bach. If you say that Mamid B'dor Mekabel Tumah is possible because of the Gzeirah, we're afraid that you might be Mesakech with the Dor Mekabel Tumah. You can't be Mamid with any Dover Shepossel Eschach because we're afraid you might be Mesakech in it. So if it's only Possel Midrabonon, we're not going to make a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. So it should be Mutter to be Mamid with this Dover Shepossel Midrabonon. But if you go like Rashi, that if you're mesakech b'davar makabel tuma, if you're mame b'davar makabel tuma, it's like being mesakech b'davar makabel tuma. If you're mame b'davar shepasul l'schach, it's like you're mesakech b'davar shepasul l'schach. So it doesn't matter whether the psul of this item is a psul daraisa, psul darabonon, even if it's psul on a darabonon level, it's as if you were mesakech with something that's psul midarabonon. So that should be a problem. It's not a gzera issue. It's that it's mamish like you're mesakech b'davar hapasul. So it shouldn't matter whether it's a psul darabonon or a psul daraisa, even if it's only a psul darabonon, it should be a problem. So he just points out there in the footnote that there's a ritva in Sukkah on Daf Chaf Aleph that writes beferish that it's mutter to be mamed the schach with a dover that's posel midrabanan. We don't make exera, so if it's only posel midrabanan, it's kosher. So he's mekel. The ritva is mekel. He follows the ran. The ritva and the ran often say similar things. So he follows the ran that the whole problem of mamed b'dover kabbalatum is exera. So something that's posel midrabanan is not subject to that exera. So just to sum up this whole discussion of mamed b'dover kabbalatum. Me'ikar adin, it seems like there's no room to be machmer at all. The Shulchan Aruch, after all, paskens like the Tanakama, that the issue of Mamed Darim Kabbalatuma doesn't apply before. You want to be machmer for the Magen Avram, explaining the suffix in Shulchan Aruch, right? The second version, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Gemara has. So, okay, you can be machmer. But to say that a sukkah, that your Mamed Darim Kabbalatuma in the sukkah is mamash posel, that's a little difficult to say. So a person finds himself, he's invited over to his friend's house, and they happen to be Mamed B'davar Kabbal Tumah. He walks into the sukkah and he starts saying a whole shtickle Torah. You know, so I don't think I would make a scene. In fact, I would even make a bracha on that sukkah. It's not the worst thing in the world. You want to be machmer in your own sukkah, that there shouldn't be any Mamed B'davar Kabbal Tumah, so you could be machmer in your own sukkah. But I don't think that you have to be so machmer not to make a bracha on such a sukkah. Me'ikar adin, it's a sukkah kshera anyway. A person finds himself at a restaurant, and the only sukkah there, the sukkah that they happen to be Mamed B'davar Makabel Tumah. That's not the worst problem. The restaurant sukkahs, there are more fundamental problems that we'll get to in just a moment. So the issue of Mamed B'davar Makabel Tumah is not the worst issue. But again, you could be machmir at home. Be machmir so much, like the Chazon Ish, I don't know if we have to go so far. Mamed D'mamed is probably okay. I think that's what most posts can hold. So that's why the way these sukkahs, the prefab sukkahs are made, is that they have pieces of wood going across whatever you have there, the plastic, the metal, whatever the walls are made out of, and then the schach is on top of the piece of wood. So the schach is being supported by the wood, and even if there is metal, we view that as a mamed d'mamed, and according to everyone except for the Chazon Ish, that's going to be okay. Yes?
If you have that piece of wood so that the schach is supporting the wood, but then when you tie down the schach, you tie it to the metal, does that change it? And maybe you'd say that because you're tying it to the metal, it's also being supported by the metal?
Why should that make a difference? It still is only a mamed d'mamed. Or, well, you would say, no, the tying down is not mamed d'mamed, that's mamed b'davar hapasol l'schach, but it's only a psul d'rabbanan. What you would say, the fact that you're tying it down to the metal, forget the metal, the string itself is a davar that's pasul for schach.
But
according to the Chazon Ish, that wouldn't be a problem. Right, but we're not following the Chazon Ish necessarily. I mean, some do, but we're not going to be machmed that far. So we're not going to be machmed for that Chazon Ish, then lechora with the string. If it's only a psul d'rabbanan, maybe there's room to be mekel. Okay, another popular thing to make schach out of is mats. Mats. So is there any problem with using mats for schach? It's much easier to use mats for schach because it's all attached. You just roll it out. It's pretty simple. It saves a lot of time. It's easy to take down, easy to put up. So the basic shiloh of the mats is mentioned by the Mishnah in Sukkah, and Daf Yutes on the base. Machzelas konim gedola. If you have a large machzelas konim, a large mat, so the Mishnah says it depends whether it's asol l'shchiva or asol l'sikuch. If you make it to lie on, so then it's mekabel tumah v'ein mesakchin ba. But if you make it for schach, then it's not mekabel tumah and you can't be mesakeh. This is on page 29 in your handout. Asol l'shchiva is mekabel tumah v'ein mesakchin ba. Asol l'sikuch is zeinu mekabel tumah mesakchin ba. So the emphasis is this issue is not, the issue of Kabbalah's Tumah by the mats is really not so significant Bizman Hazeh. Because our mats, Bizman Hazeh, that are made for Sukkahs, even if they're made in China, but they're made L'Sikuch. They're all made L'Sikuch. So you could talk about whether most mats in China are made L'Shchiva or they're made L'Sikuch, but these mats are all made by Kavona L'Sikuch. right? It has a hashgach on it, right? Right? There's a stamp on it. They know for sure they're making it for sikuch. I'm sure the Chinese people who are making them say sukis. They know exactly it's being made for sikuch. So I don't think the Kabbalah's tumah issue is such a significant issue. Rebbe Yoshev, though, thought that maybe the issue that you have to address in Matz is gzeiras tikra. Gzeiras tikra. What's a gzeiras tikra? The Mishnah in Sukkah and the Afyudala quotes Machlokas Tanoim, whether you can be misakhim bin asarim, can you make schach out of planks of wood? And it's a whole discussion there, what's the machlokas going on, what case, how large are the planks? Complicated. So suffice it to say, if the planks are more than dalet fachim, everyone says that you can't make a sukkah out of that. It's a gzeiras tikra, because it looks like a tikra, looks like the roof of your house. Someone will think that if you can make a sukkah out of schach from planks that are more than dalet fachim, then you can make you can sit in your house, and that could be a sukkah too, you can sit under your roof. If it's between Gimel Tvachim and Dalet Tvachim, so that's the Machlokas. Less than Gimel Tvachim, everyone says it's kosher. Between Gimel and Dalet is Machlokas, and more than Dalet is definitely possible. Okay, so let's just focus on the more than Dalet. It's more than Dalet Tvachim in width. You have a large plank there, quite a large plank. The typical 2x4 is a lot less than 4 Tvachim. 4 Tvachim is what? How large in inches? It's quite large. Right? Tefach is, let's say, 3.6 inches, somewhere around there. Right, so 4 tefachim is going to be more than 10 inches, not a 2x4 by definition. So that's going to be possible because of gzeiras tikra. Just parenthetically, we should point out, some poskim mentioned there's a smak who says bizman hazeh, since we make roofs out of beams that are thinner than 4 tefachim, smaller than 4 tefachim, not as wide, so maybe it should be goes even less than 4 tefachim. That's a real chumrah. So then you wouldn't be able to use your 2x4s to support the schach. Right, if you make it out of those nesarim, would be schach pasul, because of gzeras tikra. That's a real chum. Pashup shana the gemara is that the shir is dalet tefachim. So the Beis Yosef quotes a tshuva from the Rashba. Beis Yosef in Tafresh Choftes quotes a tshuva. He quotes it from the Ramban. It's miyuchas to the Ramban, but we know that the Rashba's tshuvas, that the tshuvas that are miyuchas to the Ramban are really from the Rashba. So the Rashba writes in a tshuva that if you on mechaber, many nesarim together, your mechaber, you connect a lot of planks together until you have 4 tefachim. Even if each neser, even if each plank is not 4 tefachim, but as long as you mechaber them together, it becomes 4 tefachim together, the gzeiras tikra applies to that combination as well. That's the Rashba. That's the chiddush of the Rashba, the chumrah of the Rashba. Rabbi Yoshev wants to say, based on the tshuva of the Rashba, we should passel our machtzelos. Because you have a machtzelas, you have a mat, but the konim, the reeds, the rods of the mat, the pieces of the sticks, are attached together with some kind of string, hemp, whatever it is. So once you attach them together, even if independently, you wouldn't have a havamina that the gzeiras nesar and the gzeiras tikra should apply over here. Because they're all attached together, based on this Rashba, you should apply the gzeiras tikra. So it should come out that the machtzela should be psula, even though it's made of gedulei karka, not mekabel tuma. Yeah, it's made perfectly. But the problem is, since everything is attached together, the gzeiras tikra should apply. So that's what he wanted to say. So many are mako, many disagree, and they say that perhaps our mats are different for different reasons. But our mats, even if you want to be machmir for that Rashba, the gzeiras tikra shouldn't apply to our mats. First of all, our mats are so flimsy the rain can come in. And the mats are made out of very thin, flimsy kind of slats. They're not like 2x4s. And there are certain mats that are made out of bamboo. No one would make a roof out of that. The kitzer, the tzad hashav of all of these svaras is that no one would build a roof out of the mats that they make schach from. We just don't do that. You make it out of 2x4s. They're so flimsy, and the way that they're attached, the rain can come through. So there's no havamina that someone would look at this and say, well, if I can sit under schach of this nature, I can sit under my roof as well. So even if the gzeiras tikra, even if the Rashba is right, which is a hanocha, that's an assumption, even if the Rashba is right that the gzeiras tikra does apply, even if you only attach the nesarim together, they're not independently dalet tefachim wide, but you're only attaching the beams together. But in this case, in the case of the mats, that's not cool. The gzeiras tikra, even the Rashba would say that all mats are not subject to the gzeiras tikra, because no one would make a tikra out of this. So no one would make a tikra out of it, there's no problem. Oh, but the only problem with the mats could be, not gzeiras tikra, but mamed b'davar mekabel tumah. Where's Mamad B'dor Mekabel Tuma? Not that the Machzeles is Asol L'Shchiva. No, Mamad B'dor Mekabel Tuma. How? Or Mamad B'dor Shepasel L'Shach, because of the string that's holding it together. They hold together the bamboo with nylon, with string, with other things. That's Pasel for Shach. So if you Mamad B'dor Mekabel Tuma, if you Machmer for the Mishnah Berurah against the Chazon Ish, that even if you only hold the Shach in place with the Dabar Mekabel Tuma, it's a problem. I mean, here your schach, the matzahs are lying on a piece of wood, but they're being held together to prevent the wind from throwing them away. They're being anchored with the string, so l'chore that should be a problem. So Taka, according to Rashi, that string is a psul d'oraisa, as we said, and those mats that are made that are strung together, so to speak, with nylon, that's also a psul d'oraisa. Nylon is pasul min haTorah for schach. Why? It's nakidule karka. So there's no question. Rashi is talking about string. String is gedulei karka, but because it's woven, it has a din beggar. If it's possible, min haTorah, you got a real problem. Because the kula that the Ritva had, that we're not going to make a gzera l'gzera, that applies to something that's only a psul d'rabbanan. But if it's a psul d'oraisa, then you have a real problem with mamad b'dor mekabel tuma. So I saw Rabbi Heinemann suggest that you should be very careful. Put the mats perpendicular to the pieces of wood that the mat is resting on. You know, you could think that, well, the mat can be supported by the string itself, so it doesn't matter that it's resting on wood. I don't recommend that anyway, because the sheer weight of the mat will make it fall through the sukkah. But Rabbi Heinemann said, mitzad halacha, you should really put the mat perpendicular to the piece of wood, so that what's really going to be supporting the wood, what's really going to be supporting the mat is the what? What's really going to be supporting the mat is the wood below, right? Aye, but still, the string is anchoring it. The string is anchoring it. So he says, you know what you should do? Put a piece of wood on top. Put a piece of wood on top of the mat. Just lie it across. So that the string is not going to be what's anchoring the mat and preventing the wind from blowing the mat away, from blowing the bamboo away. But rather, it'll be the piece of wood that you have on top. So as long as you have a piece of wood on the bottom supporting the schach, and you have your piece of wood on top, and how difficult is that? You just take a long piece of wood and throw it across, throw it perpendicular to the mat. If you have your piece of wood on top, then there's no mamad b'dor mekabel tuma, because wood is what is supporting it, and wood is what is anchoring it and preventing the wind from blowing it away. Of course, there are some mats that avoid the whole problem. Some mats are strung together with hemp. Hemp is gedulei karka, it's not mekabel tuma. And some mats are made out of string, but it's what they call monofilament cord. Monofilament means it's not twisted together. So monofilament cord would not be a psul d'oraisa according to Rashi. That's not oruk, that's not a beged. Maximum, it's only a psul d'rabbanan, even according to Rashi. So if you go with the Ran, that mamad b'dor mekabel tuma is possible because of a gzeira, that we're afraid that you might be mamad with this item, so we're not going to be gzeira l'gzeira here. If it's only a psul d'rabbanan, it won't be a problem. So l'chatchila, you know, if you want to avoid all the problems, get mats that are connected with monofilament cord or with hemp, and you won't have any trouble. But if you find yourself in a situation that you can only get a mat that's connected with nylon, so just have the mat supported perpendicularly with the wood on the bottom, and put a piece of wood on top, and then you shouldn't have any issue. Yes?
Does it matter that the string is not anchoring the bamboo to the sukkah, but it's just tying it to itself?
It's still preventing it from getting blown in the wind, so that is called mamad, except the point of the Chazon Ish. It is anchoring it to some extent. It's making it heavier. It's not anchoring it to the sukkah, but it's making it heavier so that it's not going to be blown by the wind, so that the lechora still should be mamad b'dor mekabel tuma. Yes?
So building on time's question, in the nylon case, even if you put a piece of wood on top,
it's unnecessary at that point. It's unnecessary. As long as I have the wood, the bamboo is not going to fall off. If you put bamboo and then put a piece of wood on top of that bamboo, the wood is going to keep it in place. I can tell you from experience, we have mats at home, and even with the string and everything, there have been times that the wind, if there's a big wind, it'll blow the mat over. So we try to put wood on top. I mean, it happens to be my mat is made out of it has hemp, so it's kedasa kedin anyway. But we put the wood on top anyway for a practical reason, because the hemp doesn't hold it well enough if you have a strong muncy wind. So if you're using nylon, you also can put a piece of wood on top, but I think that should be sufficient. As long as you put the wood on top, it'll stop anything from blowing. And then it shouldn't be a problem, even though nylon is taka pasul fischach. Okay. Another halacha that comes up in the building of the sukkah is the rule called tasa velomina osu. The Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Tezvav, says, Hachotit begodesh lasas lo sukkah ena sukkah. Someone who's hollowing out a haystack to make a sukkah, that's possible. You have a pile of hay, and you're going to hollow out inside in order to create a sukkah. You don't have to put anything on. Just hollow out. You'll have your defaros, have the sach on top. So the Mishnah says you can't do that. Why? So the Gemara Daf Yud Beis says it's derived from the pasuk in Parashas Re that we quoted before. Chaga sukkos taslacha. Taslacha. Tasa velo mina osi. You have to make the sukkah, but it can't be mina osi. It can't be from what is already made. You already have the schach there. You have the hay. You're just going to hollow it out to make the funos that you can't. You're going to hollow it out to make schach and the funos, to make the oel with the dofen that you can't do. But the Gemara does say on Tazayin Amad Aleph that if you have a tefach, the meshach, zayin al zayin, if you already have, if you put on a hollowed out, how to sort of picture this. Let's say you have a tefach of height across an area of zayin al zayin, and now you're going to hollow it out more. You put the schach on this area, that's a tefach of height, zayin al zayin, and now you're going to hollow it out more so that you have your tefach. So there the Gemara says that's kosher. Why? Because there you have your basic ohel. The ohel, there is an ohel because you have schach on top of at least the tefach. So when you're hollowing out, you're only hollowing to create the funos. The rule of tasa velomina osu, he says the Gemara, applies only to schach, not to the funos. If you have an ohel, because you already have the tefach, then the rule of tasa velomina osu will not passel the hollowing out further in order to create a dofen of ten tefachim. This rule of tasa velomina osu is quoted by the Gemara in the poskim in several different areas. Lemaisa, very important issues. The mashal, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, talks about the case where you have something that's mechuvah l'karka and it's leaning over the sukkah. You know that that's posel for schach. Hidlo aleh agefen v'sikeh chal gava. Let's say you lean a vine over the sukkah and then you put schach on top of it. So the Mishnah says it's posel, but v'im kotzot son ksher. If you cut off the gefen, you have to put it on top of the sukkah, then it's kosher. So the Gemara says, but just one second. After you cut it off, you have to be minaneah the gefen. You have to shake it a little bit. Because if not, that's mina osli. That would be tasa. That would not be tasa. It would be mina osli because the schach is already there. So you got to shake it after the schach becomes kosher. It's no longer mechuba l'karka. You have to shake it so that the psul of tasa v'lo mina osli will not apply. Secondly, the Ramah, this is probably more common. The first case could happen if you have a tree hanging over the sukkah and you decide to cut off the tree. So you just have to be careful to shake that branch. You can't just assume that it's kosher because it was there from before. The Ramah in Siman Tafresh Chav Vav, Siv Gimel, talks about the following interesting two cases. Let's say you want to make your sukkah. It's a rainy day. You're not going to be home from work, you know, another day before sukkah. So you want to make your sukkah, but you don't want to make it in the rain. So you'll keep the awning drawn. It's going to be covering the sukkah. And somehow you'll get the schach in there below the awning. A little complicated because the awning normally is pretty close to the sukkah. But let's assume that you're going to put up the schach. Let's say a person has a sukkah inside his home. And inside the home, he has windows that come down to cover the area. So he could technically put the schach on with the windows closed. He can have the schach inside his home. He has the bamboo. He doesn't have a mat, let's say. But he has the bamboo. So he'll put up the bamboo one by one inside his home. And then he'll open up the schach. He'll open up the gag. He'll open up the roof, the awning, whatever he has, the windows. And the sukkah will be kosher. What's the din? So the Ramah is matir. The Ramah says that you're allowed to make the sukkah under a roof, under the awning. That's not tasa v'lo mina osli. And the Ramah adds, and of course, once you make the sukkah, you can also close the awning and open it again. There's no problem. The rule of tasa v'lo mina osli would not apply in this case. The Mishnah Berurah is not so convinced. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a Bach, who is machmir. The Bach says that when you make the sukkah, you have to have the awning open. Can't have the awning closed. He is willing to be mekel. Look, there are some rishonim who are machmir, even that you can't close the awning on sukkahs and open it again without shaking the schach. right? It would be tasa v'lomina usli to close the awning and then to open it because the schach is already made. That far, the Mishnah Berurah is not willing. You know, it feels you don't have to be machmir. But he does quote the Bach that says in tchilas asiyas haschach, in the beginning when you first make the schach, it has to be tasa. It has to be an asiyah. So you can't have the awning closed against the Ramah. The Ramah was willing to be makel. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bach as machmir. Apparently what the Ramah holds is that even though the awning, when the awning is on top of the schach, pashup shat is, the schach is pasul, the Ramah apparently holds that the opening of the awning is an asiyah. So even though the asiyah is not in the schach, a little strange, the asiyah is not in the schach, the Ramah holds that is called tasa, that's not mina osa, that is called tasa, and that's why it's going to be okay. So, yeah, if you want to be machmir, you can be machmir certainly to make the schach when the awning is open, but I don't think most people are makbid not to have an awning, not to have any kind of a shlak, any kind of covering, because then they'll have to shake the schach again. Right? Whenever tasa v'lomina osli applies, you have to shake the schach to make sure that there's an asiyah chadosha. So I don't think most people are going to be machmir for that, but to make the schach metchila, maybe you should be machmir to have the awning open. And the third and final case that the Ramah has of tasa v'lomina osli is that one should try to make the schach before making the walls, before putting up the walls. One should try to make the walls before putting up the schach. One should not put up the schach before the walls. Now you would say, how can you do that? Where's the schach? How's the schach going to lean on anything? So let's say you have your old canvas sukkah. You have the metal frame. The metal frame is not a dofen. It's not a dofen. You have to put something on there. You have to put canvas, some kind of dofen. We'll talk about that in just a moment in greater detail. So let's say it's easier to put up the schach first. I think in a lot of these larger sukkahs, you have a sukkah in a hotel, in a restaurant, in a shul. It's a very large sukkah. It's probably a lot easier to put up the schach before you put up whatever walls you have for the metal frame. Because you can walk inside the sukkah. Walk inside the sukkah, you know, you just put the schach up. It's just easier to have to put up the walls first and then hand the schach over the top of the sukkah. It's much more complicated. Says the Ramah, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't put up the schach before the defanos, because, says the Mishnah Berurah, the schach has to be made l'shem tzel, l'shem ohel, and without a mechitza, there's no ohel. It's not called l'shem tzel. So that would be tasa v'lo mina osa. That would be mina osa. It wouldn't be tasa. So you have to keep this in mind. Nachemina, for the canvas sukkahs, you should put up the frame and the canvas first. If you want to be machmir for that Mishnah Berurah, put up your piece of wood to separate from the schach and the dofen, and then put up the side. Don't put it up first. The Mishnah Berurah, in fact, quotes some poskim who say b'di'evet that if you put up the schach before the walls, you might really have a problem even b'di'evet. So it's something to keep in mind.
Isn't it sort of
tapetach,
the metal frame? So like you said before,
Tzuras HaPesach is not kosher in the first two walls for sukkah. It's only kosher in that third strange wall, but in the first two it would be possible, so it's not going to help you. One of the interesting shilas about walls of the sukkah is whether you can make walls out of canvas or sheets. I don't know. I'm not sure they had canvas sukkahs, but they had sheets. So what's the status of a mechitza? What's called a mechitza? What's not called a mechitza? So the Gemara in Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis in Sukkah says that kol mechitza shein yichola lama beruach mitzuya ain't a mechitza. If the mechitza can't stand in a normal wind, that's not called a mechitza. What does it mean that it can't stand? So the Shaar HaTzion quotes from Rashi in the Sugya. Rashi says that it means that the wind is going to move the mechitza a little bit here and there. That's also a problem. That's not called a mechitza, right? If the mechitza is not going to stand still in the wind, that's not called a mechitza. The Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish felt, and he says that the stimas kol haposkim is like this. Rashi disagreed, but okay. Chazon Ish said that the only time that it's called a mechitza shen yechol olam v'ruach mitzuya is if the Ruach Mitzuya will move the Mechitza enough, it'll be at least three Tfachim out of its original spot. Because we know that three Tfachim is a principle that's Lavud, that applies to Mechitza. So we say Lavud in three Tfachim. Lavud is Halach Lavosh Misinai, that within three Tfachim it's like it's Sosum Dami. So as long as it hasn't moved three Tfachim, it's just like a big wall. It's still the same original wall. So that's not called Bittel of the Mechitza. Says the Chazon Ish, what the Gemara is telling us is that if the Mechitza can't stand Beruach Mitzuya, meaning if the Ruach is going to be Mevatel the Mechitza, it's going to move it more than three Tvachim, now it's not the original Mechitza, then the Mechitza is not called a Mechitza. The Emek Bracha points out that the Rambam contradicts himself in different places. Look at the Emek Bracha inside, you'll see. But this is a whole discussion in Poskim. Some want to say that it has to push the mechitza enough that it's more than three tefachim, and others say, no, even a little bit is also a problem. Even a little bit is also a problem. So let's say you have your canvas, and you mamish tie it so tight, it's not even going to move it a tefach. I mean, it moves it a mashu. A mashu is obviously not going to be significant. But it's not even going to move it a tefach. It's really tied down very strong. So maybe according to everyone, that should be fine. That's yichol olama baruch. Let's see what should be the problem. Not so fast. So the Shulchan Aruch in Simet Tavresh Lamed quotes the Rabbeinu Peretz. Tavresh Lamed Tzif Yud. Rabbeinu Peretz says that he thinks even if you make the sheets, even if you tie the sheets very, very carefully, very, very tightly, it's still a problem. Because his lashon is dilma mintaki v'lava daite. Maybe they'll become detached and you won't realize it. Rabbeinu Peretz says, even if you tie down the mechitza as best as you can, and mamish is barely going to move, certainly not a tefach, it's still a problem because we're afraid that it might become detached and you're not going to realize. So he says the only way to be mashir such a sukkah made out of stinim, made out of the sheets or the canvas, is to have chavolim or konim. He talks about konim. You should have to have sticks, pachos migimel tefachim. You have to arrange sticks less than three tefachim in the height of the dofen until 10 tefachim so that you have lavud. We wouldn't put sticks, we just put string. You put string, it's not schach, so string is perfectly kosher. The dofen can be made out of any material. So if you tie string around the metal poles, 2.9 tefachim, another 2.9 tefachim, another 2.9 tefachim. And I guess another 2.9 tefachim, right? Because if you only have the three, it's not going to be 10. But if you tie it in that way, so then you'll have lavud. It's as if you have a full mechitza there. It looks like you can see through, but al pi din, it's viewed as a full mechitza. So you can put your canvas on there anyway, l'shem tznius, so that people are not going to see into your sukkah. They don't have to see you know, serving all your food and eating inside. But al pi din, if someone were to ask you, you know, what's the real mechitza? The real mechitza is the string, not the canvas. Because Rabbeinu Peretz told the canvas is going to be a problem, even if you really tie it down hard, even if you tie it down tightly. Of course, we should point out that if you're going to put that string on, you have to put the string on before the schach. Let's say a person comes home and he sees that his parents built a canvas sukkah. So he heard in his shir that this might be a problem, so he wants to put the string up. So it could be that that's tasev v'lo mina asa. Right, that would be a problem in our usli because the schach is already put up. We had the Mishnah Berurah who says that you have to put up the walls before the schach. It's something to keep in mind. If you want to be machmir for this, you will not really accomplish anything unless you shake the schach afterwards, or if you don't put up the schach until later. Something to keep in mind. Rabbi Shechter once said that those who made the canvas sukkahs felt they had a hashgach on their sukkahs, and they felt that there's no problem here bichlal. You don't have to put up the strings. You don't have to worry about it. Because they felt that the canvas sukkah is different than the stinim that the Shulchan Aruch is referring to. Because the stinim is a case where the wall is made out of a substance that's not made to be used as a wall of a sukkah. You're turning the sadin, you're turning the sheet into a sukkah by tying it down very tight. So I could hear someone saying that we're afraid that it's going to get loose because it's not really asur l'kach. It's not made for that. But if you have a canvas sukkah, it's made, it's a tarp that has those metal grommets in them. It's mamish made to put string in and to tie it down tightly. What could be the problem? Is there a chashash that mintaki v'lava daita, it's going to get separated and you're not going to realize? Some of these canvas sukkahs, you're not even supposed to tie them down with the string. They have special fasteners. The special fasteners, they can't become detached. It's just posh and not shaykh. I mean, it's very unlikely that it's going to become detached. So Rabbi Shechter quoted others, I don't know who exactly the mocker for this is, but some people wanted to say there could be no problem. Maybe there's no problem at all with the canvas sukkahs because it's made lekach that it's not going to become detached. So that's not what Rabbeinu Peretz was talking about. This is nogeh lemaisa mamish. I've been to many recreational places on sukkahs, and sometimes you see a canvas sukkah, I mean, there's literally canvas just sitting there. It's like a bowl of canvas. And it's not attached to anything. It's like attached, but not really. You have to be careful about this. You might not have a mechitza at all in the sukkah. Seriously, it's like a big thing of canvas. It comes from the top. It's attached on top, but you go to the bottom, and it's just hanging there. I don't know, amos worth of canvas. You have to be careful. There are some restaurants, some pizza stores, that the walls are made out of, I don't know, you know, those plastic tablecloths that they have for Shabbos. You know, it's a plastic tablecloth, so the wind blows, and hi. I mean, your mamish can see, it's not attached at all. You at least have to attach the thing, but even if it's attached, if it's not osir l'kach, there might still be a chashash that it'll become detached. You have to be careful when you make a canvas sukkah that it's attached in the proper way. But the best thing to do is to have string, to put string 2.9 tefachim every spot, less than 3 tefachim, so that you'll have a mechitza al pidin of 10 tefachim. Yes.
So that mechanism of the 2.9 tefachim.
Okay, here.
Is that mechanism of the 2.9 tefachim, is that lengthwise or heightwise?
Heightwise. That means you have 2.9. Right? This is your.
But does it have to be all? It has to be all along it.
So then my wall is right here. It's all kesasim dami, right? It's all kesasim dami. It looks like it's open, but it's really al pidin kesasim. Yes.
Did a task of someone else, how exactly do you...
You just push up the schach and put it back down. As long as you push it out of its place. It's not resting on anything. It's resting on your hands. So then when you put it down, that's the asiyah of the schach.
And if you do a piece, like let's say a little bamboo sticks, you do it by bit?
You don't have to do it all together. You could do each piece separately. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yes.
I think the sugars they have that dermakmir with the string thing,
yes.
They only give you like 3 of them.
They don't have to give you anything. You can buy string at Home Depot and then put it up yourself. It's
no,
fine.
Like if you only have 3,
it should be a problem because it's not 10 tefachim. It's got to be 2.9. So I'm not.
You consider
unless that they hold that the metal on the bottom is some width also. I'm not sure. But the shear is 10 tefachim. Okay, let's move on because we seem to be running out of time. Sukkas Ganvach. Sukkas Ganvach. The Mishnah Daftes. The Testament Aleph and Sukkah goes Machlokas Beishamai Beisilel that a Sukkah Yishana. A Sukkah, an old Sukkah that was not made L'Shem Chag, is it possible or is it kosher? Beishamai says it's possible, Beisilel says it's kosher. The Gemara explains the Machlokas Beishamai Beisilel is whether you need Lishma by Sukkah. You need a Siyas HaSukkah Lishma. Beishamai Darshan's the same old Pasuk. Chag HaSukkah Stas L'Choshiv HaSyamim L'Chol L'Shem Chovcha. The Sukkah has to be made Lishma. Beisilel says L'Chol L'Me'utek Zula. Tosis they discuss is why does he need lecha? There could be other reasons why gezula will be excluded. Not for now, but it seems from the Gemara that there's a machlokas b'shamay b'silel whether you need lishma by sukkah. The Gemara earlier on the Chesam Bay says that sukkah's ganvach. What does ganvach mean? It's an abbreviation. Ganvach is an abbreviation for goyim, noshim, behema, kusim. There's also rakvash. There are different. Not for now. Ganvach. A sukkah made by a non-Jew, a sukkah made for a woman, for her uses, a sukkah made for a behema, not by a behema, but for the behema, a sukkah made by kusim. So sukkah's ganvach, the Gemara says, is kosher. If it's nasa l'shem tzel, even though it wasn't made l'shem sukkah, if it was nasa l'shem tzel, that's fine. If made for shei, that's fine. As opposed to if it were made l'shem tznius, let's say the sukkah was only made because you don't want people to see you doing what you're doing. It's not made l'shem tzel. It's not because it's so sunny and you want the sukkah to protect you, the schach to protect you, but rather it's made l'shem tznius. Or let's say it's made l'odeba kol hashana. If it's made to live there the whole year, that's not a sukkah. L'odeba kol hashana is not a sukkah. Sukkah means that you're making it only for a temporary time. And the question is it arai, is it keva, what's its status al pidin? But it has to be made only for temporary. If it's made l'odeba kol hashana, it's not called a sukkah. So, but ostensibly, sukkah's ganvach is kosher. As long as it's made l'shem tzel, it's okay. So, l'chora, Beishamai has to disagree. Beishamai would have to say that a sukkah made by a goy has to be possible because he's not a bar hochi to make l'shma. If you hold that the sukkah has to be made l'shma, then l'chora, sukkah's ganvach should be possible. But Beisilo could be masha because they claim that the sukkah doesn't have to be made l'shma. Tosus, though, on Testament Al, quotes the Yerushalmi that says that even Beisilo holds that a sukkah yeshana tzorech l'chadesh badover. You have to move the schach a little bit. You have to be mechadish a little bit in the schach. Shake it up a little bit. What does a little bit mean? There are 2 days. One is either tefach al tefach, or mashu al pnei kula. Tefach by a tefach, or mashu al pnei kula, by the whole width of the sukkah. That's the Yerushalmi. According to Beis Hillel, you have to be mechadish badava. So the Rishonim try to figure out, what's this Yerushalmi saying? What do Beis Hillel hold? We thought Beis Hillel said you don't need Lishma, so what exactly is going on? Is this a din l'chatchila? Is this ma'akev b'di'evet that you have to be mechadish badavar by a sukkah Yerushalmi? So the Ran says it's a din l'chatchila. It's a mitzvah min ha-muvchar to be mechadish badavar. B'di'evet, you wouldn't even need it. The Beis Yosef, though, says he thinks Rav Poskim hold that it's ma'akev b'di'evet, that even Beis Hillel hold that you have to be mechadish badavar. What's the machlokas, whether it's l'chatchila or it's even ma'akev b'di'evet? So l'chor, they're arguing in the reason of the whole halacha. Why do Beis Hillel hold that you have to be mechadish badavar? The Mishnah Berurah quotes from some This is in Tafresh Lamed Vav Sukkot Valley. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that maybe the reason why you have to be Mechayesh B'Davar is as a heker, because we're afraid that if you're not Mechayesh B'Davar, someone might think that you could even use a Sukkah Yeshana that was made L'Shem Dira of Kol Hashana, which is Pasul Min HaTorah. It's Mamish Pasul, that's not called a Sukkah. It's like a gzera. We're afraid that people might get confused, so you have to do a heker. That's why you have to be Mechayesh B'Davar. But others claim no. Those who disagree, who claim that it's Ma'akev Yedi'evid, they'll hold that. Even Beis Hillel claims that Asiyas HaSukkah has to be Lishma. The Machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai is how much Lishma do you need? Beis Shammai holds you need the whole Asiyah Lishma. Beis Hillel holds that a Miktsas Asiyah Lishma is enough. A Miktsas, a partial Asiyah Lishma, transforms the whole Asiyah and makes it into Lishma. But according to that side, and it's Ma'akev Yedi'evid, then even Beis Hillel would say, I need an Asiyah Lishma, just Miktsas is enough. If you say that you have to be Mechadesh B'Davar by Sukkah Yeshana, you should have to be Mechadesh B'Davar by Sukkah's Ganvach too. By Sukkah's Ganvach, a Sukkah made by a non-Jew, even Beis Hillel would say you have to be Mechadesh B'Davar, you have to shake the Schach a little bit. Tefach al Tefach, Mashu al Pnei Kula, but you have to shake it up a little bit. And according to those who say that it's Ma'akev even B'Dieved, by Sukkah's Ganvach, it'll be Ma'akev B'Dieved as well. Even Beis Hillel holds you need Miktsas Lishma by Sukkah. So this is very important. Very often you'll have a sukkah made in a shul or in an apartment building by a superintendent, maybe a person's wife or a person's sister will want to help in the creation of the sukkah. Not so simple. Most poskim say it's better that the sukkah should not be made by a katan, not made by a goy, not made by an isha, because there's this question that maybe Beis Hillel holds, according to that day in the Yerushalmi, according to that approach in the Yerushalmi, Beis Hillel might hold that it's really ma'akev even b'di'eved to have a little bit of lishma. Of course, if it's already made, you were not minaneya before Sukkot, I wouldn't, say that you can't eat in the Sukkah. B'dieved, maybe you can be mekel, right? Because there could be one day I'll leave it to Beis Hillel that it's not makel b'dieved, but l'chatchil, it's probably better not to have the non-Jew make it, not to have the non-Jew make a Sukkah. Let's just talk briefly about the psulim in Schach. Schach posel and avir, they're posels in Schach. You talked about different types of schach that are going to be possible. Let's say you have schach possible in the sukkah. Not all your schach is kosher, some of it is possible. So how much schach possible would actually possible the sukkah? So the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tov Reish Lamed Beis, based on the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says that schach possible passels b'dalet tfachim. If you have dalet tfachim of schach possible, then it will possible the sukkah. What does it mean to possible the whole sukkah? So the Pashup Shad is, if you have dalet tfachim al p'nei kula, taking the bird's eye view again, and if you have your sukkah and you have dalet tfachim al panei kol sukkah, so then what's going to happen is it's going to split the sukkah in half. So if you don't have zayin al zayin, in either one of the sukkahs, so then it's going to be a parallel. If you have zayin al zayin anyway, if the schach pasul is in the middle, so what that it splits the sukkah in half? So now I have two sukkahs. Right? Obviously, I can't sit under the schach pasul, but I'll have two sukkahs. The problem is if you have a sukkah katana that is not so big, and you have four tefachim of schach pasul in the middle there, it'll split the sukkah in half, then you don't have the shia sukkah. That's going to be the problem. Even if it doesn't split it in half, if you have dalet tefachim by dalet tefachim, that's a makom choshev, and that will be pasul. You would not be able to sit under that part of the sukkah. You can't sleep under that part, you can't sit under that part. But if you have less than dalet tefachim of schach pasul, then it doesn't pasul the sukkah. And you can even sit under that schach pasul. You could even sit under the schach pasul, as long as you don't have dalet tefachim of schach pasul. L'chora, based on this idea, if you were to have like low-lying decorations, sometimes people, they have a nice decoration and it's lying low. So people are very careful to have to make sure that those low-lying decorations shouldn't be more than dalet tefachim from the schach. Based on this, they were afraid if it's dalet tefachim from the schach, so then, if the decoration is dalet tefachim, that could be schach pasul. But at first glance, if you think about it, it's got to be dalet al dalet. If it doesn't split the whole sukkah, even if it's dalet tefachim, it shouldn't be a problem. The Ramah says you shouldn't do this. You should be very careful not to have low-lying noise sukkah. So, as Mishnah Berurah explains, the Chora, he's only afraid that it might be dalet tefachim by dalet tefachim. If we allow you to put low-lying schach, it might turn into dalet al dalet. But if it's not dalet al dalet, it really shouldn't be a problem. How about avir? How about airspace? So avir passels begimel tefachim. If you don't have lovud, you can't say lovud anymore, so then it will passel. But if it's less than gimel tefachim, then love a kisasim dummy, and it's fine, it's not going to passel. But even though it doesn't passel, you can't sit underneath it. When it comes to schach passel, if it's less than dalet tefachim, you can't sit underneath it. When it comes to avir, if it's less than gimel tefachim, even though it won't passel, we say love it as kisasim dummy, but you can't sit under the avir. What's the difference? Why by schach passel we say you can sit under it if it's less than the shir psul? Why by avir do we say you can't sit under it? Mishnah Berurah explains that is because by Avir, the hepsik is nikar yoser. It's nikar more. So that's the din. The halacha is that even though the Avir is not passeling the sukkah, it's lovud, it's kisasim dami, but you can't sit under that Avir. So to be shown him, ask just one second. If you can't sit under Avir in a sukkah, is there any sukkah that doesn't have airspace in the schach? If it's mu'uva kimin bias, if it's so thick, fine. But most sukkahs are not so thick, there's a little bit of airspace. How can I sit under any sukkah? I can't sit under the sukkah because I'm sitting under air. So the Ramah quotes in the Rishonim, no, Avir is only going to passel, meaning you're not going to be able to sit under Avir less than Gimel Tfachim, even though it doesn't passel the Sukkah. You can't sit under it if it's Avir al Pnei Kula. If it's Avir al Pnei Kula, the Avir is extending from one side to the other, then the Avir is such a thing that you can't sit underneath it. It won't passel, but it's passel in the sense that you can't sit underneath it, even though it won't split the Sukkah in half. So that's why Rabbi Shachter quotes from Rabbi David Feinstein that it's Kedai, he published this a number of years ago, maybe 30, 40 years ago, in a Torah journal, that it's Kedai in a sukkah, you put up the bamboo, put up a bamboo perpendicular to all the bamboos that you have. If you put up a bamboo perpendicular to all the other bamboos, you'll be sure that you'll never have Avir al-Pnei Kula. There are some who claim Avir al-Pnei Kula has to be a significant amount of Avir. It's just a mashu, what's the big deal? But let's say you want to be machmer and say a mashu is also a big deal if it's al-Pnei Kula. So if it's al-Pnei Kula, you got to be afraid that maybe during Sukkot, maybe the bamboo will separate from itself. And then you'll have Avir al-Pnei Kula. You can't sit under that Avir. So he says the best thing to do is to put up a bamboo perpendicular to all the others. You'll never have Avir al-Pnei Kula because that bamboo will always stop. Right? That bamboo will always have your running like this, and your piece of bamboo is going the other way, you'll never have Avir al-Pnei Kula, you'll never have
a problem. Inch of your body anyway.
Sorry?
It'll just be like an inch of your head anyway.
Right, but if you sit under it, then you're not really sitting under a sukkah. So it could be a problem. Okay, just two more points quickly, then we'll stop. The other halacha of schach posel, of course, is dofen akuma. You can't give a shir in a sukkah without mentioning dofen akuma, the bent the wall. Schach posel b'dalet tfachim b'emtza. But min hasad, if it's on by the wall, you got until Dalet Amos. You heard me. Dalet Amos. Four Amos. It wouldn't passel the sukkah, even if it's Dalet Amos. Halacha Moshe Mishnah, that dofen akuma, we look at it as though the wall is bent. Now, of course, you can't sit under it, because you can't sit under a wall. You have to sit under schach. But it wouldn't passel the sukkah. You could have a dofen akuma on all sides of the sukkah, and in the middle of the sukkah, you'll have schach. Because we treat it as though the wall is bent, and it's coming up to that point. Where does this happen? In a typical home, you have an overhang from the awning. The overhang is hanging on to is attached to the building. It's attached to the house, and it's made out of metal. It's pasul. So even if it's more than dalet tefachim, I mean, normally these overhangs are not dalet tefachim. Even if it's more than dalet tefachim, it wouldn't be a problem because you could say dofen akuma. So it won't pasul the sukkah, even though it's more than dalet tefachim. But just don't sit underneath it because that's the dofen. And finally, we can't get to everything, but that pasuk Chag HaSukkos Tassel Chashivas Yomim, the Gemara in Sukkah and Daftah is darshan something else. That Kashem Shechal Shem Shemayim Al HaChagiga Kachal Shem Shemayim Al HaSukkah, that there's a Shem Shemayim, there's a Kedusha to the Sukkah as well. Just like the Kavan Chagiga has a Kedusha, so to the Sukkah has a Kedusha. The Sukkah is Huktzah L'mitzvah, so it's set aside for its mitzvah, when it's not allowed to derive any Hanoah from the Sukkah. That means you can't take a bamboo stick in the middle of Sukkot to fix something, to play baseball with, whatever. You can't use the schach. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Taz, the Mishnah Berurah writes that that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to lean something against the sukkah. There always are people who say, don't lean the chairs against the sukkah. It's huksul and mitzvah, so you're not allowed to be nene from it. So some takas say you can't do that, but the Taz says that's okay. If you're not nene in the sense that you don't use up the sukkah, then it's okay. This idea of Chal Shem Shemayim Al HaSukkah means that you're not allowed to be nene to use it up in some other way that's not for its mitzvah. But as long as you're not using it up, even if you want to lean something against the wall of the sukkah, that might be okay.
Thank you very much. I think we're going to try to run down the
floor.
Yeah.